Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, 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 hello. Welcome to another reality show, everybody. I'm your host, Golden Hawk, and we have ourselves yet another situation. tonight, I am supposed to be interviewing Proteus from Chemo City, and Proteus is not queued up in my switchboard. These are always very interesting days. Okay, listen, I have Proteus. I'm going to bring up Proteus's Facebook page and tell him, call in, you're supposed to be on a radio show. Call in, you're supposed to be on my show. This is interesting. wait, we have a caller. Hello?
Hi, is this Miss Golden Hawk?
Is this Proteus?
This is Proteus. How are you?
Wonderful.
I hope that you weren't worried. We did cut it a little short.
Yeah, it went about 30 seconds post. So I actually just posted a thing on your Facebook page going, okay, call me. I'm supposed to be interviewing you. No, I'm psyched, though. It's all good. In my world, it flies as it flies. So it's all good.
No worries. I'm located here in New York, and I don't know if you're familiar with the little thing called the subways.
Ah, of course. So, yes.
So, you know, as much as we like it to go according to our schedule, sometimes they just don't. But there you go. But all things happen for a reason, and all's in perfect timing. So here we are.
There you go. Outstanding, and I totally honor it. It's all good. Indeed. So, Proteus, let me just, because now that I have you, I can breathe. Let me just do, I want to start my shows with, and I know you'll resonate with this, because I can totally sense a resonance between us with our Facebook post.
Yes.
But I've been inviting my audience to consciously invite their essence into their physical beings. Because,
great.
I have found for myself, I've been doing it. Now, I guess I'm starting to understand that I've been doing this probably on a subconscious level for years. But, and this, if you would like, we can easily segue this into, you know, a conversation, because I didn't even know what we were going to talk about, because it seems that me and you both kind of go all over the board, but I resonate deeply with so much that you write.
And thank you for that synchronicity. That's one reason why I had no worry in the world. As our little clock was ticking closer and closer to 8, I had no worry. So I'm in full agreement with you.
No, and that's, see, because, you know, one of the experiences I've been telling my friends about is when your essence, and I call it my essence, you can call it your soul, you can call it the God within, whatever it is that you want to term it, when that larger being, that larger perspective is experiencing, is with you in your body, you really do go to spaces that, you know, it's all okay. I mean, because like you, I mean, I just try, you know, it's weird because there's a connection that me and you have. I have it with many people that I've never met, never spoken to, and yet deeply trust.
Sure.
Because you know what I mean? It's a frequency that is beyond a written contractual agreement. It's a way of living. We could not be at the frequency we're at without, I already know there's integrity because it's part of the frequency that I'm experiencing it. You know, does that make sense?
That makes perfect sense, and I think we how you channel your essence, how you raise your essence. I believe it just happened here. You gave a great example, and here's another example here, as I just stated, and both of us. Here we weren't worried about anything. You were a little nervous, but you said essentially, you know what? I feel this trust, and I know it's going to be just fine in 30 seconds, in 40 seconds, whatever it is, and it was. And you see, I guess this could work into a segue, but that's a lot of what people do, how they cloud themselves, if you will. All will be fine if we just, and we always hear the quote to say, let go. Just let go and know that there is, as you said, there is a higher force, whatever you want to call it. You could call it your essence, you can call it your soul, you can call it your higher mind, you can call it your higher self. But either way, if you just allow it to be and allow it to work out, then that is exactly what it's going to do. That's how the universe works.
It really is. It really is. And, you know, I see it so clearly with a live media. You know, it's like... As a kid, I remember growing up watching the bloopers from, like, the I Love Lucy show and the Carol Burnett show. And, of course, now, you know, being in the media myself, I mean, there have been several times in the 6 years that I've – or 6 years, 4 years, 2006, 4 years that I've been on the air where 30 seconds before the show is going to go on, the guest will call me up and go, there's an emergency. I'm not coming on tonight. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like, okay, and you know,
like,
I'm always
okay,
like,
now.
What's going to happen? Well, we're just going to let it fly. That's what's going to happen. So,
all right.
And
so what
some
should,
of my greatest shows have come from those experiences.
And here's another a great element of synchronicity right here is that I, again, fully understand where you're coming from here. Because I guess what you would call our career, our work, my career is actually, we have many careers. After all, we are, in reality, living multiple realities. But that's a whole other story. But essentially, one of my careers is a radio producer. And I know exactly, when you're booking guests, you got to make sure that this person has to be on. Otherwise, if this person isn't on, this person cancels. And do you find a replacement? Do you do this? Do you do that? Okay, now you have to, quote-unquote, wing it. Everything's to the second. We resonate.
Oh, I didn't know that. And I mean, and I'm loving getting to know you because I thought about at one point, you know, before the show going, you know, perhaps we should talk on the phone just to see a chemistry. And I actually heard, you know, like that still small voice inside myself said, trust. And because I think because it's not that I don't want to get to know you. That's clearly what we're doing right now. It was like, but do it, you know, be real about it. Do it on the air and get to know them because I think the message of the trust is far more implicating in these times than, quote, unquote, wanting to do a good show.
Yes, yes. And
you know?
and that, if, wait, would you like to continue?
Of course, of course.
Well, yeah, that is essentially what this is all about, because it's about utilizing, it really goes back to utilizing the higher mind, or as you said, that essence, is because the physical mind always wants to sit here and plan everything out, and much as you just said, the physical mind says, I gotta have a good show. It's 2 days before, 3 days before, or whatever time frame that you want to put on it. But you say to yourself, I want to have a good show. Okay, what do I have to do? Okay, I have all of these missing pieces in the puzzle. How am I going to fix this? And you're focused in on those missing pieces rather than doing what you just stated. You just said, you know, this is the way this seems to be unfolding. Okay, so let me go about it this way. This seems to be a path of little resistance here. So let me just go with it. Let me see what happens. And that's what happens. We often cloud our best decisions with overanalyzing. And what you just said, you just relied on your intuition. Your intuition said, let's iron this out right there and then or when the moment comes. And that is what so many of us, so many people have lost. And it is that loud voice, that physical mind that is concerned with with more, I guess you would say, more immediate gratification rather than, again, the whole
picture. Well, right, and that comes from the lack of trust because they want it all to be prepared. Because, I get that, some of the cliches that come out are very much about, working the energy of the third dimension. Where I'm coming from is working the energy of multiple dimensions and knowing there's a knowingness that by being multiple, it's impossible for the physical not to be in congruency. In a perfection that is way more, like you were saying, way more connected, way more graceful, and if I might even say without ringing or tooting my own horn, just exquisite when we genuinely walk. Because one of the things that I find for myself since I've been doing the radio show, and it's very interesting, is it forces me to walk my talk because there's something about speaking on a radio show. Because my word, so to speak, gets amplified because it could be, be listened to by, 100, 200 people, it's almost like the universe. I would say things on the air, and I would literally, like when I used to be in Rhode Island, I used to be affiliated with a radio station in Rhode Island, I would be driving home from the show, having to experience everything. Like if I was, kind of bragging, so to speak, that, oh, I'm all about the light. Yes, I am. The dark can come, and, I'm so compassionate. And I would drive home that night, Proteus, or that day, and literally a darkness would come over me until it hit me that, you're saying it, Goldie. Now live it.
Yes.
In other words, okay, and if you're not going to live it, stop saying it. This is. It was like the integrity was, I can't just, speak about myself as this enlightened being on the air and then basically be, a crock of shit in real life. It had to be real because it was my word itself was making it that whatever I said, I was being and it became clear to me. I became aware of that. And instead of being frightened by that, I literally went, okay, let's bring this on because I would like to become an ascended master. I mean, and let me rephrase that because where I'm at now is I know I am at some level, but I need my consciousness to be aware of that.
And if I may, and you did, and the concept, one of the concepts that you just spoke about or that you just touched on is integrity, correct?
Correct.
So that's very important, and that's amazing because that's such an important concept. It goes way beyond the concept of lying or what's right or wrong or better or worse. But integrity is very important because, as you stated that you would say these things or perhaps even think these things, and then you have to actually be it. You actually have to act it out. Because if you don't do it, and if you say one thing and then you turn into, as you put it, a crock of shit, then the idea is the universe gets incredibly confused because the way physical reality works, it's physical reality is a mirror, so it actually responds to what you put out. So if you're going to put out confusing signals and say, well, this is who I am, but I'm going to do this, then the universe doesn't know what to do. And then as a result, what happens? As a result, then these are the people who act without integrity who run into hardships. It's not so much that the idea of what they're doing is wrong, but it's the idea that just on a physiological level, just purely physics, that the universe does not know. It is the reflection. If you put out a confusing reflection, you will get a confusing physical reality response reflection.
Very good. Indeed.
Yes.
Indeed. Hey, listen, and I get the sense that I could have you interview me. But listen, I
Thank
do the show
that.
Every week, and I want to interview you. So tell me about yourself. Tell me how you became Proteus. I mean, I don't know if that's your birth name or if that, was another level of awareness that name birthed into you. Or
That's perfectly fine. Well, I guess the full name would be Proteus Michael Chemo. Michael would be my given name. We are all multidimensional, as you explained it. Now, Proteus Chemo would be an aspect of my higher self. But your higher self, one way that it could be considered is that it's a combination of all of your past lives, which are really simultaneous. But anyway, in the lifetime, I'll refer to it as the channel. I'll refer to Michael as a channel. So in the physical life, the channel went through, I guess what we can say, almost exactly what we talked about here. Living a great life, much enjoyable, honest, good, happy person. But, you know, there were some instances where he did not act with integrity. Now, that goes with everybody. I mean, I don't want to give you the wrong idea. We're not talking about crimes here. But when I talk about didn't act with integrity, I do speak of there was a lot of negativity in his world. Luckily, it didn't really make much of an effect on his physical life, but in his inner life it did. So eventually, the physical life got very dense. And again, there are a lot of hardship stories out there about people that were homeless or people that have been out in the street. This is not one of those cases. It's just one of those cases where things got a little dense, or a better way to say would be a little annoying. So basically, our channel decided to hit the reset button and basically went within. And we always say that, we always use a little cliche or a little mantra, if you will, when things get too heavy, lighten up, or when physical reality gets too dense, go inside. And that's what he did. And again, in a statement that you made earlier, you said that you would like the listeners, you would like your friends, everybody to kind of go into their essence and kind of raise it up, because there is a power there that will guide us if we just let go. So that is what our channel did. Our channel let go. He just let go, and he said, okay, it's time to hit that reset button. And as a result, he was contacted by, or influenced, if you will, by, we'll just call it divine help. Divine help, because there are always labels put on there, you know. Perhaps the question would be, well, who was it? What being was it that spoke to him, or who was it? And there were many beings in dream life, in feeling when it become, mm-hmm. when you say to think with your heart, in his physical reality. He did research, as we all do, and things were popping up that were significant to him at the time. And so that is what happened. So if I can switch viewpoints to make it a little bit more clear, I'll speak in the first person. So basically, that is what happened to me. So things got a little dense, and I said, you know what? There's another way. There's got to be another way, and I'm going to figure it out. And that's what I did. I hit the reset button. I went into a lot of meditation, if you will. I looked very closely, and this is paramount. I looked very closely into my belief system. When I looked closely into my belief system, I was able to see exactly why things were manifesting the way they were. And I mean, any instant that you would hear anyone talk about, just to complain about, they'd say, "Oh well, how did I get in this quagmire? My phone bill is 5 months late. I'm about to get all these things." And I was able to look at each and every one, positive and negative, and see, okay, what belief was it that made this happen? What belief is it that made this happen? And that was it. And basically, if I can just speed this up a little bit, during that transformation, if you will, awakening, some people call it, enlightenment, whatever label you want to put it, during that process, I was able to just hone in on the beliefs that made sense. I was able to understand fully of how time works, and that is the that is the essence of it. And now I'll jump back again. Is we like to present things in a non-linear fashion because that's the way things are, non-linear. And that is what saved our channel, if you will, or opened up channel to helping out others, is that he realized, and anyone else can realize, that you are not bound by anything in your past. There is nothing that prevents, if you are listening to this now, or if you're able to sit there and sulk, or to sit there and complain to somebody about something, then you are easily able to, boom, switch realities. Or if you just want to put it in plain English terms, change your life. Because time is non-linear. Time is perception. The past and present and perception. We are not bound by either. And once you understand that, then you are free. And then you are free to have fun. And that is the name of the game. We hope that made sense.
And I'm not talking about a hoe down on 32nd Street. I don't know. I feel very comfortable with you. Anyways, what you're saying, though.
I just want to be. Oh, good. I'm glad you understand. Great. I feel the same with you as well. And this is truly from the bottom of my heart. This is a lovely connection. It is indescribable with words to really tell you. But this is just lovely.
Well, Proteus, we really are on very much the same frequency. So I feel like in our connection, exponentially, we are, that much more influential. And not from a point of view, because my point of view is always, are you familiar with the Almin teachings?
I am not.
No worries. A basic principle, I mean, she's an ascended master, hands down. The basic principles that I've taken from her teachings is that all I can do is present. As a healer my whole life, I am just recently coming to the awareness that it is not my job to heal the world. It is my job to be the standard of a healed being, of a whole being, and therefore providing the opportunity, i.e. potential, for anyone else to heal themselves, because there is nothing that is not self-healing anyways. But the difference between black magic and white magic was the simple fact of black magic used force, where white magic uses the perfection that lies underneath anyways. It's just connecting to the perfection that's already there. Therefore, there's no need for force, which for me
that's
is...
Cool.
Yeah, please. Ed, we can banter, interrupt each other. You know what I mean? We're good friends already, so.
I love you. I love it.
There,
one thing that you said that is great, and you compared light to dark, and that dark is could you repeat yourself if you don't mind?
Yeah. Well, what I was saying, black magic is basically taking the nature by force, forcing nature, pushing it, which is what I've experienced. And I've never done black magic per se, but I have done black magic in the sense of I have forced healings with people on my table. And what happens is that force still has a momentum once that person feels better getting off the table. And where that momentum is going to kick me in the ass is that force then comes on to me. Because healing has to be an...
I think that it is a great analogy in describing working or enjoying physical reality, and as opposed or better yet, thinking with the mind as compared to thinking with the heart.
Right.
Thinking with the mind, you're working with physical reality, and you're working to bend physical reality. You're looking to make things work and to force things into play. But the funny thing is, and it really is funny because it's all an illusion, the funny thing is that physical reality, it doesn't exist. It's an illusion. So if you're trying to extend this thing, it's going to get pretty rough. And that is why we put it out there that perhaps an easier way to go about things would be to relax a little bit and let the higher mind put trust. The magic word is trust into the higher mind, into the higher realms, into all that is, into your celestial friends, into all the aspects of yourselves that are all around you, and love you with unconditional love. And it's from this perception that you can wake up and you can see how malleable, how flexible, how fluid, how lovely physical reality is. And to bring it back to the healing point, is that is exactly right. You, as a healer, us as who we are, as our service, is to simply put out the vibrational frequency. Put it out there, and if one is ready to receive it, they will receive it. They will gravitate toward it. They will vibrate toward it, and they will become it. That is the process. And you're right, that's your job as a healer. Your job as a healer isn't to heal or isn't to worry about healing. It would be a better way of putting it. It's simply to put it out there and to trust yourself. You know, that's what you do, because there are many healers out there that don't think that way and put the pressure on themselves, and that's probably the exact opposite of what is.
Well, not only putting the pressure on themselves, they're actually, I mean, I've spoken to healers that are telling me they're laying their hands on these people going, I'll take away your disease. And I'm like, are you crazy?
Exactly.
And they're like, well, I protect myself. And I'm like, well, you're damn straight you're protecting yourself. You're taking on disease that ain't even yours. What kind of healing is that? But, you know, then you look at the Alex Gray work and you go, oh, that would be the wounded healer. That's the martyr. I can't judge the martyr because I was the martyr for years until, I mean, I would say that I really had my grand awakening after being, when you're in the presence of anyone that has an expanded aura or an expanded field, you yourself become expanded just by their presence. And Almeen's work has helped me tremendously. I'm actually at the point now where I can't be in – I'm not really focusing so much on her work anymore, because it's actually shifted me to a point where the expansion to try and keep up with Almeen is becoming – my mind is telling me I'm not good enough to keep up with Almeen, instead of just accepting the gift that I had from working with her for 2 years and being in that space. You
exactly,
know, it's like,
yeah, sort of. You have entered that vibration. You contain similar energy. So as you said, now you can apply it, you can modify it, and
yeah,
you can make it your own, so that you're not chasing.
Yeah.
You're not exactly. And
yeah, well, and that's the chasing is a that's another huge aspect of living that I have. It's not even that I've let go of chasing. I'm genuinely content in the now moment. I mean, genuinely content, yet knowing all these magical things are, you know, are mine, and that the experiences are yet to have, you know, in my awareness, but that they're coming. And because, you know, well, let me ask you a question. How do you feel about the presence of paradox?
The presence of paradox. Paradox is a great. It's a great tool. You can. Oh wow! There's such a. You've got us so excited. There's a wealth. There is such a. It's almost. If I can use an analogy, I mean the power of paradox. It's something. It's along the lines of what we say, the power of delusion. Does that resonate at all?
Completely.
Yeah. It is the power of the unknown. It's the power of not knowing. We don't really like to use the word better, but we would say it's a quote unquote. We won't. basically, it's using the power of the illusion. It's better not to know than to know.
It's a more graceful utilization of the properties that are in front of you.
Exactly. You're multidimensional. All is available to you. So it's not knowing what's going to happen the next day or not knowing what this means. It's an amazing tool because basically it allows the universe to say, well, you thought it was going to end up this way. And the universe could say, oh, it's going to end up this way, and you'll be even more happier. And if I may, I would just like to back up just a little bit. I just want to back up just a little bit and just bring you up to speed. I just want to finish one point, is that after our channel became very... after our channel basically, and again, this goes back to what you were saying, our channel, instead of reading a lot of these things or you know, chasing a teacher and another, and again, there's nothing wrong with that. In fact, that's great. Teachers are great. Teachers are all over. Teachers are with us all the time, here in front of us and in the higher realms.
Proteus, including self, you. Indeed.
There you go. And the focus of a lot of things coming in were... from our friends in the higher realms, from the Ascended Masters, yes, but more particularly with our Arcturian friends, the Palladians, beings from the Sirius star system, and others. And these beings, who are with us here today, were the ones that jumped to the occasion, just jumped and said, well, yes, let us teach, let us help, we will help, and that is how it all turned into the interdimensional channeling that we are listening to now.
Excellent.
So I just wanted to
Are you in channel right now?
I'm in channel right now, but they will jump in and out, which is what they just did.
Okay.
That's what happens.
Which is fine.
When we are
that's fine.
Yeah. When we're in the channel, when I'm in this channeling state, which is fine, because they jump in and out, and basically, that's how it happens. Only when I am channeling, I'm talking to a friend, and all of a sudden, you know, I just go into the channeling state. But that's the way it is. Right. They jump in and out. It's a collection of beings. From Arcturus, Sirius, the Pleiades, I believe, and there's a few other ones that they haven't fully identified themselves, but that's what it is, and if you just give me 1 minute, I'm going to go back into channeling. I'm going to try to keep
no,
it.
No,
okay?
No, no, no. Just so you know, I'm open to you doing that, but I had figured that we would do the channel as the second hour, but I'm not saying I'm not open to that. You can be in channel to answer questions.
Golden August, perfectly fine. We can do it this way. That's fine.
It's just that's what I wrote on, that's what I wrote on the episode page.
I
am flexible. I'm clearly flexible on this.
No wonder. You know what? Apparently, see that's how we know we're all connected, because they knew it and they jumped right out. So there you go. Okay.
Indeed.
That's
funny.
Yeah.
Well, what I'd love to talk to you about, because I've mentioned this several times on several shows. It happened in 2003.
Sure.
I went on a Sirian ship.
Oh. Really?
And so I'm kind of, you know, like, and I've always had, you know, I've spoken to UFO chasers, so to speak, and I've paranormal and channelers, but never to somebody who's actually channeled the galactic aspects. So this is going to be very interesting, because I think that has a lot to do with, I know that my, there's at least some starseed, not history, because I get that everything's now, but I have starseed DNA of Sirian. I know I have Sirian. I also know that I've done lifetimes as an Arcturian.
Mm-hmm.
you know, it's
well, that's very, that, yeah,
very
that's interesting.
Auspicious for all of this.
and when was this?
Well, in 2003, have you ever heard of the technique called Holosync?
I have,
yes. Bill Harris work?
Yes.
I holosynced for, it's a 10-year process. I holosynced for 8 years, but my second year of holosyncing, I had an experience where, you know, I was in my bedroom holosyncing.
Okay.
All of a sudden, I looked at my wall, my bedroom wall. There was a circle. I could see through the wall. Three ships were coming down the street. I knew they were coming for me. They came over my house. I had a defining moment where I knew if I was frightened, I wouldn't go. But I also knew in that defining moment I could choose if I wanted to go. And I basically said, you know, what the heck? I'm in. Let's do this.
Wow.
And
yeah.
It was a conscious choice. And I want to tell the audience, because I tell this in every audience, that I was afraid. I mean, it's clearly like, holy moly, this is really happening. I mean, there's a blooming ship above my house. And I'm also traversed enough in that I walk between the worlds in my dream time. I have expanded my consciousness through several drugs. And I'm not saying you have to go that way, but there is a certain level of self-sovereignty where you literally say, okay, listen, it's an adventure, sure, things can go wrong, but it's so, the value of the experience far outweighs the potential of, you know, I don't know, something probing me up my butt. I didn't care. You know, it's like, come on, I want to try. So, but I want to finish because I'm curious, you know, how this will share with you, like I said, because of your whole galactic connection.
Yeah,
So I went up.
Yeah.
Oh, go ahead. Do you want me to continue?
Please continue.
Okay.
Go right ahead,
so,
please. Yeah.
Indeed. I'm enjoying this. Okay, good. So I went up, and now I had an experience, just so you know, when I went up, before I even got onto the ship, it was I was a consciousness above the house, and in that consciousness, I was everything. I was molecules of water, molecules of air, the trees, the birds, there were people driving cars, there were kids playing in the yards. I had an absolute awareness of everything, which was, you know, to this date, I have never had that expanded an experience in any of my experiences like I did that day. Anyway, so then I was in the ship. The ship was really interesting because what I know it to be now is it was living light, and it would respond to me looking at it. When I looked at a part of the ship would glow in response to me looking at it.
Wow.
Which was really a dance. Oh, it was fascinating. It was so, there was such a connectedness. You could not help but feel connected to this. I could sense it was an organism. It was not just, it was living light is how I describe it. It was also colors that were so luminous. You know, we have wonderful pictures on Facebook, but oh my God, these other dimensions are just, you know, colors gone wild compared to these colors.
That is beautiful. Color and sound.
Exactly, because it's funny, there wasn't a particular, I didn't hear the sound, but you can feel the sound.
Right.
It's almost like the sound sustains you in that expansion.
Magnificent.
Then,
wow.
Yeah, it's so funny when people tell me, well, I don't want to go, let me finish the story, and then I'll diverge into how everybody told me, because I smoked cigarettes, I wasn't going to ascend, and I would just laugh, and, you know, I bless people. I don't smoke anymore, but I bless all the vegans out there who tell people, oh, you eat meat, you're not going to ascend. Because I also was, you know, a big Burger King fan. I had plenty of beef running through my bones. The truth is, it is more about fear and love than it is about what we ingest. Hands down. And I tell people that all the time, that you'd be surprised how many drug addicts are probably going up on ships because of their lack of fear, because of their whole walking between dimensions, because of the drugs, than anything.
Exactly.
But anyways, I don't want to, you know, and I'm not trying to get into that whole thing, but I have a feeling at some point we will get into that.
Yeah.
So anyways, I went into this room, because I got to tell you about the being. Please let me tell you about the being, because I don't know if you know
this. Go ahead, Goldie, go ahead. Yeah.
Okay, I'm sorry, and I'm not trying to take up your hour, your time. Okay, so I was in a big room. There were these discs that were tables. There were no legs on the discs, on the tables. They kind of just floated. There was about 6 to 9 people around all of the tables. I recognized some of these people from, like, workshops, like Abraham Hicks workshops, the Cryon workshops, other people I didn't recognize. Then this being came out. I was actually told by Curiel that it was a she, because anytime they manifest in the physical, they have to have the chromosome of X and Y. That's what I was told. I felt the presence of a he, but it was such a powerful being. They were about 7 or 8 feet tall, huge white head, black eyes, a white robe with gold trim. She basically spoke to everybody telepathically. My message was to continue to lay my hands on the people. There was more that happened after that, but I only have an etheric awareness that more than that happened. But all I remember after that is waking up in my bed, where it took me 20 minutes before I could move my pinky. It was so dense when I came down from that experience.
Wow.
I couldn't believe how dense it was. I went, I was actually, when I came down and I couldn't move, I went, oh, my God, the price I'm going to pay is I'm going to be fully paralyzed from my neck down. And then it was just a matter of me acclimating back into my body, and then inevitably I was able to move again. Okay, I'm all done. I'm sorry to take a
moment. No, that's amazing. You are a starseed.
Yes.
I mean, wow, that is incredible. And I suppose that you wrote all of this down because you have such a vivid, beautiful memory of it.
To be honest, when something like this happens to you, I have it on blogs, I've talked about it on the radio. Just telling you the story just now, everything was, I mean, when the wall shined back at me, when I was above the house in oneness, it's almost like it leaves such an indelible print on your being, on your physical DNA. There's no forget. It's not like a dream. You know, and I'm not saying dreams don't go lucid and that dreams aren't real, because they are.
Right,
but
exactly.
This was it was just, I don't know the words for it. It was, my body, I'll be honest with you, since that day, I obviously have no, you know, I have no question, are the galactics real or not? Obviously, they are.
Sure.
Another thing that I had no fear of is death. Now, and I've had, you know, dreams where I've been shot point blank in the head to help me understand how life continues on after the physical. Part of what I've got, because this happened in 2003 or 2002, part of what I've got in the last 8 years is essentially that if they let me know, like, one of the things I know about Sirius is there's a lot of connection with mermaids. This is the Almine word.
Yes.
Mermaids and stuff. Dolphins.
Yes.
and whales. Now,
yes.
What's interesting is up until Almine's pod, I was phobic about water. I couldn't see under my feet.
Oh,
like,
wow.
I could go in a pool. I could go in a tub. I couldn't go. I could go in water if it was crystal blue, but there was still this undeniable. I heard the Jaws music, you know, the dun, dun,
dun, dun, dun, dun, dun. Yeah,
you know,
right.
And I realized recently that if I did not have the fear of the water, I believe this anyways, that if I was to go and be in the water the way I love to be in the water, because as a kid I loved swimming underwater and there was just something magical about that space for me, I believe they created a phobia in me because I would have wanted to go home and not stayed the amount of time on the planet that I have stayed if I was swimming in the water this whole time, you know, meaning from child, because the phobia created about 13, which was when I saw Jaws. And I do believe it was the movie Jaws that triggered the phobia. And but there was divinity in that because I had to go through my dark night, which lasted, you know, a good 18 years.
And that's exactly stated with you, though. That's exactly why you had such a response to that, because, like you said, it was beyond just a movie that triggered the phobia. It was like you said, it was divinely influenced there.
Yeah, because I can tell you just now, I literally just in this now moment came back and realized we're on the air. I mean, like
that's beautiful.
Yeah. Well, that's your energy too. Your energy is expanding me, so I like it.
Oh, we thank you for that, and it's just absolutely beautiful. And you mentioned dreams. Dreams are a very big thing, and that was a lot of what influenced me as well. When I was very young, I had a few instances of. I'm sure it's very common to read on the internet now, but I had quite a few interesting prophetic dreams, and that was sort of my awakening, because I was a bit too young, if you will, to really take it down, but that to basically take it in well. But basically, that pretty much was my eye opener, saying, you know what? There's more to the universe than what's in front of my eyes. I mean, you know, having a dream. You know, where you're doing kid stuff, you know, where you're playing baseball or football or whatever it is that you're playing, and then having it happen the very next day, that has a paramount effect. And and that's sort of where it began for me. Like I said, I mean, very young age. I'm talking probably 7 or 8. And that's, you know, pretty much before we learned out of using our
you know that you read exactly.
Yep.
Exactly, because it's about 7 that the chakras start closing down, and we start becoming, you know, sovereign in the sense of, okay, what we've been taught, we own. We own it, whether we like it or not. You know, this is the nature of the human experience, at least from my perspective. You know, the kids just absorb everything. It doesn't matter if it's a good truth, a bad truth, a healthy truth, an unhealthy truth. We just absorb it all.
Yeah, right. And and it's so impressionable, and I think one of the most ironic statements are made to children or high school students is saying that when you leave nursery or elementary or junior high school or middle school or that sort of thing, when you go on to secondary school, they say, okay, well, now you're entering the real world. Actually, it's the opposite end. Actually, you've been torn out of the real world. Now you're about to fix yourself more into the illusion of limitation.
Exactly right. That's very true. That's very true. Yeah.
So that's what happened. So
I'm not a big fan of education. Yeah, let's not even go there. We'll bitch about that on another show.
And if I could just add one more thing is that also, you know, so I've always paid attention. Thank you. I've always paid attention to my dreams since then. I have probably, you know, I don't know. I might be rivaling Gustav Jung or Jung, depending on your accent, but I might be rivaling him with the amount of recorded dreams I've had. I basically I had many dreams where I did talk to other beings. Many dreams I quite woke up in much the same vibration that you did, where I wake up and I maybe can't move something for a little while or beyond just sleep paralysis. I would wake up and I would not be able to describe what it was that I just experienced, but I would have the feeling as strong as day, and I would just see it manifest in my day, just feeling of knowing, just knowing exactly what happened in the dream, but not being able to verbalize it. I've had dreams where I literally flew into space, and I had councils, I've had meetings with beings, and at the time of awakening, I would know full well what the significance were, or at least what it was related to, or is related to, You know, so that happened very often, and as a result, as the years went on, when I was not even, this is a paramount example of how the universe works, is when I, from the ages of 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, when obviously this thing is not on my mind, as the spiritual nature is not on your mind very much, so... But somehow in my reality, all of these things were just coming to me, books about dreams, books about what we term ETs, all these things just coming into my reality. And I had an interest in, obviously, but I just didn't act on it because, again, you know, should I read a book or should I go outside and play stickball? So
play
there
ball.
You go.
You're right.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I'm all for the... I like the idea that, see, I think that's why kids really do kind of, like, they get it without the analyzing of it.
Yes, yes.
You know, because
I
work with a three-year-old that is channeling to me. She channeled to me today. She's channeling my mom, who's passed away 10 years ago. She's channeling a group of angels that are coming out of the mirror of her jewelry box. But I'll be honest with you, I'll talk to her in the car seat, and say, you know, can you ask Lala, you know, if my mom's around? And she'll go, nope. And I'm like, well, if I call her in, do you think, you know, will you ask him if she comes? Okay, and I'll be like, Ma, you know, I love you. You know, come on, will you chill with me for a minute? And she'll go, she's here. And I'm like, and I know she is. I know she is. I mean, she was telling me about a friend's mother who went to the hospital today. She's like, you know, some lady is calling your friend, and she's in, just, you know, she's in danger. And I'm like, now, you have to understand, when a three-year-old says it, she says the words from them, whoever it is that she's channeling or listening to or experiencing. But it still comes out in that little three-year-old mind. You know what I mean? It's like, because I called my friend and, you know, lo and behold, his mom went into the hospital today and, you know, we confirmed the story. But when she told it to me, I have to watch, because what I'm doing is I'm putting my definitions on what she's saying, because I thought it was him that was in the hospital by the way she said it. And it's not that she's trying to obviously confuse me. It's, I have to really be simplistic, because what she said was actually exactly what happened. I twisted the information into it being my friend based on what I know my friend is going through. Well, she was just giving me information straight out of the truth.
Right. Little filter, no filter there. There's a very
no
minimal
filter. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
Right.
And my filter was, you know, oh, he's got, you know, I mean, he's 50 years old living in, you know, in the planet today. Clearly there's issues. I don't think I need to say more, because you get that. Okay, right, got that.
Lovely Golden Hawk, lovely.
She's exquisite, and I've been reading about her. Even on Facebook, she's essentially one of these kids that are coming in. She knows her mission. I mean, it's very interesting dealing. And she's Indian, Eastern Indian.
Oh, wow.
In Eastern Indian culture, it is very much, you know, education, and they're culture oriented in everything they do, about how women should be, how boys should be, how girls should be. And Sahana is breaking molds left and right. Her mother's, like, losing her marbles over this. And it's like, I mean, I'm trying to be kind of the buffer where I don't want to do anything but encourage her to be open, alive, expanded, and conscious. And yet, you know, I got her mother going, she defies me. And I'm like, oh, my God, she's reflecting a bit. I remember there's politics involved. It's my job. You know, it's
right,
it's
right.
It's just an interesting aspect. So
these are the new, it's this generation of children that are born. These there will be more and more of situations like this where children know their mission.
Exactly. Who do you think is going to save the planet?
Exactly. When children embrace these gifts, they're not going to turn off the real system, so to speak. They will think from the heart, and that's exactly what this girl is doing. That's exactly what we all do about, like you said, until the age of 7 or 8, and that's lovely. And one thing that I always think about is that when you see a 3-year-old, a 4-year-old, a 5-year-old, it just always a thought of mine is always that, you know, angels are near. Angels are always near.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Oh my
lovely.
God. Yeah. Yeah.
Lovely.
Yeah, you are lovely. I really well, that was pretty interesting when we were talking there. How I
and you as well. This is amazing. Beautiful.
Yeah.
And now I now that I'm familiar now that I'm on your show and I'm familiar with the show, I'll be more than happy to help spread the word and help more people and help as many people as we
Listen,
can.
Listen, just keep coming on, Proteus. Because you know what I'm a firm believer of? And I honor that. I mean, spread the word. Spread both. You know, let's just speak of the joy that we have when we're with each other. Because truth be told, the level that we're experiencing each other and sharing through the airwaves right now, we're going to get both. We're going to get people that absolutely love us, can't get enough of us. We're going to get people that absolutely hate us and think that we are just the biggest crocks of shit that walk the planet.
Sure.
I don't care. I mean, I enjoy sharing, but if we got one person on the phone right now, I'm cool. I'm cool doing this for one. I'm cool doing this for a million. I don't care.
That's exactly right. I'm doing as you are doing. I'm doing what I love to do. That is the idea. And
Exactly.
And if I can add one more thing, as this is all coming
you can have
to me
everything
now.
Everything you want. Okay.
Thank you so much. And when I was younger, I had these names always pop into my head, and this is how it. I mean, people listening now may have had this happen to them, or they may dispute it because one thing we, like I said, we're taught to let our imagination to just ignore our imagination. But anyway, I had these names always come into my head. There was always Proteus came into my head, and Chemo City, and those things are what always came into my head forever. And I had dreams about a city called Chemo City, and that's how the website came. So I guess one of the moral of the stories are pay attention to your dreams. There you go.
Absolutely. First of all, to plug the site. What's the website?
Oh, that's very nice of you. That wasn't my intent, though. I don't want you to...
No,
it was,
I know it's not your intent. It doesn't have to be. It's a perfect time to do it, then.
Lovely. It's chemocity.com. It's chemocity.com. And there are channeled writings from all over many different websites. My idea is to bring it all together and again help share the great vibration. There are of course tons of original channelings that would just be too much, but there are a lot of original writings from Proteus, and that is also where we do soul readings, spiritual readings. We channel your higher self, my own guides, as well as any guides of yours, like any spirit guides or any family members that people would like to communicate with or to ask advice with money, career, that sort of thing. We actually offer one free reading by email. So, if you're thinking about it, you're saying, I don't know, just do the free reading, and that's it. I mean, it's not, and take what you will out of that. And that is that. That's our service to all of you.
Well, can I ask you a question? Your personal/professional, I get that, you know, when you start, you know, becoming frequencies and vibrations and variables that we're talking about, those kind of labels almost become humorous. But I feel that the being I met on Sirius was my higher self. Like a self, I don't, you know, from another dimension.
What I would say is, I would not say it would be your higher self, but I would say, as I described it earlier, as you did essentially describe it, I would say it could be a very big aspect of your higher self. You know, in the higher realms, as we all, you know, it's like you said, using these labels, it's almost humor. So it's very, you know, it's very hard to say, for anyone to say, okay, well, you know, how we say it here, oh, I'm 80% English and I'm 20% American. You know, there's 80% Syrian, 90%, 20% this, but like you said, because you feel that is your higher self, then that very well could very well be your higher self, or at least an aspect of your higher self, with confirmation knowing.
As soon as you said the aspect, though, I agree, because I don't think the higher self would ever manifest in a physical. I think it would manifest an aspect, but the higher self to me is just so, it almost like it's just so large.
That is exactly right. But the thing is that because of your feeling about that, you could very well have, you know, more of a home connection to Sirius. If that
exactly.
makes there you go.
Total
that
sense.
Makes a little,
total sense. So
but as I understand it, the higher self is a combination, as we believe it to be, of all of your past lives, and then of course who you are, your original blueprint, whether again that may be Sirius or Syrian or Palladian. So I believe it's a complex of that, a combination of that, and along with the idea that all past lives are actually happening right now. So when you trigger an issue of abandonment, or when you trigger an issue of jealousy or envy, when you trigger that, okay, and if you keep on holding that energy, you know, oh, I'm really upset that he got the raise and I didn't, oh, I'm even more upset, oh, I deserve it even more, then what you're doing is you're activating all the little lifetimes. And instead of letting your higher self help you out to what you actually desire to do. So you're activating all those other aspects of your higher self instead of consciously connecting with the aspect of your higher self that got that raise. That
right.
You know, that will project you into having that raise. So there you go.
Yeah, no, that's a very important point. I see a lot of the on the Facebook, you know, a lot of the people, the pontification is just, you know, overwhelming, and they only want to speak of the light. Now, and
right.
The reason why I bring this up, because I'm a firm believer that, I mean, I have walked a dark path for, like I said, like 18 years, from 18 to 40, really 18 to 30, and then from 30 to 40, I was still in a dark path, but I was at least, you know, going to therapy, reading books on soul, doing some meditation and stuff.
Great.
But I'll tell you, if anyone told me ascension was going to look the way it looked, which ultimately I lost everything in the ascension. I lost my mind. I lost my relationships. I lost health. I lost my mom. I mean, it was like I just went through this huge cleansing. And, you know, I honestly can tell you that when I first went through in 1996, I was listening to a cry on meditation, and, you know, they were like, choose if you want to ascend, you know, state it. And I was like, I want to ascend. I swear to God, I thought it was about gaining wings, everybody loving me, and having no more pain. I mean, how
right.
foolish was the little golden
right. Sure.
You
yeah.
know, because I'm just starting to realize now that the darkness is so much a part of the ascension, and it's not that it's a part of it in the sense of when you're in the midst of darkness and you believe that there is no other avenue but darkness, that's not the darkness I'm speaking of. I'm speaking about the darkness when you get through it and you see the cleansing and the pure lightness that's left after all the what was it, the illusion is just scraped away and pulled away and let go of, you start recognizing, oh, okay, darkness has a purpose. You know, it's almost like you ever see those, the people in hospitals that they're putting leeches on their wounds because the leeches will eat the infected blood and tissue and leave the healthy. And yet, if you saw somebody with leeches on their legs, you're going to go, oh, my God, that's the grossest thing. You know, in other words, there's so much to the dark based on our basic teachings that we're not aware of until we walk through it. And then you start walking through it and go, you know, your greatest teacher is the pain and your most compassionate friend is the fear. And it's like, you know, and people are like, what are you talking about? It's like, well, when you walk through the dark night of the soul, you'll know what I'm talking about, because it is, you know, being shot point blank in the back of my head that helped me understand I can't die. How else am I supposed to know I can't die until I get shot in my head? And it's like, you know, these are paradoxes. You know, back to paradoxes where I listened to a channeler called Bashar, and he talks about the power of the paradox is being in the center of it, knowing the dark and choosing the light. You know, just because you know about the dark doesn't mean you have to live there.
Hey,
I resonate deeply with so.
Yes. Just because, exactly. That's it. The key is, I mean, right, there is light, there is dark, and what you said, there's no such thing as, well, you know, dark doesn't exist, because it does. Without light, there would be no dark. Without dark, there would be no light. But the key is that you basically, you don't have to choose the dark, but you just have to know that it's there, because all is here. All is everywhere. It's there. It's just as valid as the light. But this knowing that the dark exists, knowing that pain exists, that's fine, but you can just consciously, using the music, using that little thing called free will, you can choose to experience what you desire. You can choose to experience the light, but don't invalidate the dark, because that is where you'll run into walls, because it'll be pretty dark.
Right. That's where the dark will gain power over it. That's that whole illusion of power, power of illusion.
All of that happens.
If you give the dark the ability to hurt you, the dark now has power over you. If you give the dark the ability to cleanse you, well, then it's a beautiful thing.
Exactly, and that's what it's all about. That is what it is about. With when you can define anything, you can define anything you want, and that is when you would thank the darkness. You would thank that your foundation has crumbled. And now you look at this and you go, all right. Great, but my foundations have crumbled, but here I am, I'm standing, and I can make something up. So now let me pull this dark, and boom, propel into light. Now, that's because I'm so excited. And there you go. You got it.
There you go, indeed. People tell me all the time, I don't know which way to go, and I'm like, what are you afraid of? Go straight towards it.
Go straight towards it, exactly. Go straight towards it, and own it, define it, and hold that definition. And then if that fear comes up again, remind yourself, wait a minute, what does this really mean? And then go for it. That's such a great thing.
Well, difference between, you got to live it. Because, like, I had a fear of living by myself. So when I lived, a year after I had the Syrian experience, in 9 days I made the decision that I moved to Buffalo, New York. And people are like, Buffalo, New York, Goldie, like, you know, what the hell brought you there? I didn't know
it. Cold weather.
Well, ironically, I went from March. My goal was to stay for 3 years, but I ended up leaving in September because the journey was really about me living someplace where I didn't know anybody and I had to live on my wits. That was the journey. Where I thought the journey was going to take me 3 years, it took me 8 months.
Wow.
And because I ran out of money. I had been tossed out of like 3 homes. I was trying to move all 35 years worth of shit that I had brought with me. And finally, it was like I'm sitting in my car. You know, I had my cats, my computer, my crystals, and my clothes. The cats and the computer were the only thing that came in whole. And I went, home or homeless, Goldie? What are you going to do? And it was like, I surrender. I had been bounced so many times in that 7-8 months. But the whole key was I experienced living on my own. Because now you can't frighten me by saying I'm going to be on my own. You can't frighten me with that. I've experienced it. Now, I'm not saying my preference isn't to live with a significant other and do all that. It absolutely is.
Sure.
But not from fear.
The fear is gone. Now it's simply
a
preference.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
And there is, yes. Now that is the difference between the illusion of power and the power
yes.
of illusion.
Yes, exactly. It's a yes. difference between preferring something and invalidating another. And that's what it is. And that's brilliant. And lovely, lovely. And if I can, if you don't mind, can I back up just a little bit for a second?
Yes, of course. Of course, we have no time here.
There is. We have all the time in the world, literally. But there is something that you said again, and I know you may not have, you said you didn't want to may not want to go too much
no,
into
I
it.
No, I will
but,
go. I'm transparent, Proteus.
Good.
Transparent. There, nothing you can't say that I won't talk about.
There's an idea, there's the idea of, like you said, you expected to go through something for a few years, you went through it for 8 months, and then here, earlier you spoke about, you know, about ascending and the things that you have to do to ascend and that sort of thing, and then people who smoke and do drugs and all this sort of thing. And then to that, you know, to that, my biggest thing is always that the physical body is an incredible healer of its own. It is belief systems that make our physical body basically do the things that it does. It's belief systems. It's, I mean, and again, it depends on what belief system you're ready to take on. But at the core level is, you know, when you wake up, first of all right, with the illusion of continuity, the human body that you're looking at now is not the same human body that you had, quote-unquote, yesterday, or quote-unquote, whenever you went to sleep. It's an illusion of continuity. So that's something that helped with my belief system. But in any event, the physical body is an amazing healer. There is nothing that happens in your physical body that's actually physical. It's all spirit. It's all spirit. It's all mental. It's everywhere. And there are people that I know, okay, that you mentioned, you said something like this earlier, but they are an ascending master on, they are an ascending, our ascended master on 2 feet right now on the planet Earth. And
yes.
I think I might have seen them last week at a party at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know? It doesn't matter. That's my point.
Right.
Exactly. It's belief systems that say, okay, well, this is bad, or, you know, this is morally wrong, or this will do this to your system. Absolutely not.
Right.
The body is amazing. It's divine. It's multidimensional. You can go to sleep at, yeah, whatever. But you understand my point. You can do whatever it is
because
that you want to do.
Because I can tell you that you can do anything you want. I have always said all the drugs and all the – I have – beat the crap out of my body from the time I was 13 until I was 30. I mean, truly, you know, some heavy duty bash into the body. But I always used to say, even when in my deepest, darkest hour of you know, being a base head smoking cocaine, literally was like, in my wired state where I couldn't sleep and I was totally paranoid that FBI agents were outside of my house, I would lie in my bed and run energy.
Yeah.
You know, it's almost like, see, I've never been disconnected from. So I would be like, okay, crystalline energy. And because of my neurosis, I mean, it makes you literally OCD to be on cocaine.
Sure.
I would do it for hours upon hours. And I really believe that, I mean, I know a lot of people that their teeth started rotting out from smoking coke and their noses were deviated septums. And none of that happened to me.
Oh, right, exactly. Deviated, you know, right,
like
exactly.
I'm not trying to promote.
We know we are not.
From a young man.
Well, see, you can expand in.
So
you can expand in many ways, but that's just the name of the game, and it goes beyond drugs. It goes to eating this or eating that. It's all a belief system. If you say to your self, if you say to yourself, oh yes, well, man up, well, oh boy, oh, of course I'm going to be fat because I did this, or of course I'm going to get a heart attack because I did this,
exactly.
And well, the universe says,
you just put
okay. Yep. Exactly right. And like you said, you're practical, and that is one of our practical our exercises or suggestions to do with anything. You wake up or before you go to sleep or in your wired state, or perhaps you have a food coma. Whatever it is,
yeah.
Lay
right.
back. Run some energy through your body, then you'll wake up and you this is changing your vibration, and that's what you're doing.
Yes.
That's what we're all learning to do.
Yes, because I'll be honest with you, I'd like to be a poster child for drug addicts, smokers, people who are eating meat, alcoholics, because I know what it's like to be, in the meditation center, when the person's sitting there in their perfect little yoga body and, they're flexible like a rubber band, and I honor that. But, I'm overweight, I've come the journey. Have you ever heard the term Heyoki or Heyoka?
I have not.
It's a Native American term for, it means to teach the light through the dark.
Okay.
Which, again, is just a paradox. I have known that I'm a Heyoki for many, many, many years. And, one of the things that I'm learning right now about inviting my essence in, people believe that if they invite their essence in and, they're still drinking or they're still drugging or they're still, gorging and purging and whatever it is that you believe, quote, unquote, that what you're doing is bad, that your essence would reject you or that your essence would say, I want nothing to do with this pain. I want nothing to do with this horrendous acts of infiltration against oneself. That is
right.
The biggest bunch of crap out there.
Yes.
The truth is
right.
Your essence wants to enjoy literally third dimensional experiences with you right now. No matter who you are, no matter what you do, you do not have to join the priesthood or the convent or the yoga center to have
right.
your essence join you. It will
right.
come exactly as you are, and I am literally the spokesperson to let you know that that's truth.
I love it. That's beautiful. Yeah, good, please.
Yeah, you bring this out, everybody.
Oh, Goldie, this is beautiful. It is. It really is.
I need conversation with you off air too. We need to talk off air. I just need that to be stated. So.
We will absolutely,
okay, cool.
And
okay.
Yep, absolutely, and hey, I will join you in that crusade to help those people because there's, let's get specific. I mean,
let's get some sanctity amongst the sinners because we've been pushed into the
right.
dark for a very long time. And the truth is, I get another thing that Bashar says, which is really fascinating. He calls it the rubber band effect, and he says that the deeper you go into the dark, when the awakening to go into the light. That propulsion into the dark is what's going to shoot and rocket you to the same depth of light. So
yes.
where you think it's over and you could never be one who is holding light, that's also just that you're not understanding the paradox. We came here I used to tell my friends, we came here to be in a dual experience. Well, so I experienced darkness balls to the wall. I experienced
right.
it deep because that was the point.
Yes.
I had to know, I wanted to know, what am I not so I can know who I am?
Yes, the soul, exactly.
Yeah.
The soul essence, your soul essence wants to experience 3D reality. That's the name of the game. In any form that you desire. There's no judgment. The key is actually to release all judgment. Yep. And you can, and with the magic of free will and knowing that this is what it is, you can choose what you want. There is no this is bad because we don't like it or we don't. It's your belief. Your soul likes everything. Your soul loves everything, and even the pain and suffering it loves. Now, you may not prefer it, and if you don't prefer it, then that's the reality that you do not have to vibrate to.
Right.
But that's,
and that's what
that's,
the awakening is about. That's what the
yes.
awakening is about, that you have a choice. If you
yes.
don't prefer it, this is not, how many times have you heard people say, this is my lot in life. There's no
right.
changing it.
Right.
Hello! Listen, people, I was a drug addict to the max. I'm now a successful nanny with a radio show, Friends in the Light, Friends in the Dark. I'm not trying to sell myself as some kind of celebrity, but I'm just saying.
You don't have to sell yourself at all. Just being is you're selling yourself just being, just with your voice. It's evident. It's clear. But of course, you don't need me to tell you that. But what I do want to say is that
I like it, Brody. So thank you.
I'm sorry. Say it again.
I said, aww. I do like when you say nice things. So that's the nice thing.
Of course.
Yeah.
There's
still pockets left of ego in me, so.
That's perfectly fine. Ego is not an enemy. Ego is just a focusing tool. That's all it is. It's a focusing tool.
Indeed.
It's a focusing tool. It's not your enemy. People refer to the ego as the enemy. It wants to win the battle, and of course, if you define it as that, it will be your enemy, and you'll be fighting the ego and that sort of thing. But the ego, to me, is a focusing tool. It helps you to focus in on the reality that you desire. Now, if you focus in on the reality that you desire, if you focus in on what it is that you want to do and who you want to be, as opposed to focusing on not what, you know, that sort of thing. So if you focus on what you want to do I'm sorry. What was the last thing I just said?
We are talking about the ego and not hating the ego.
Yes,
but
I'm
but
sorry.
Learning
yes.
how to right. Make
incorporate
it make it
the ego.
Servant, not the
it's
exactly,
a,
not the
right.
Mouth.
It's a focusing tool, and then when you focus in on what you want to do, then you know what? Your ego is happy because you are that. You want to be a lawyer? You are that lawyer. You don't have to fight anyone because you're a lawyer because that's what your ego likes. Your ego likes you to be successful. Ego likes you to be successful. So all you have to do is just let go and see that the ego is actually your friend, and then the ego will be your friend. And that's what it is. And what I was going to say is that you, as a smoker, you mentioned that, and I worked with a friend very recently, who was a smoker, and they smoked pot, and they had all of these beliefs with them, and this was a perfectly normal person, if you will, did well in school, and they do well in school, they have a good career. But they always had this kind of, oh, I'm going to wake up tomorrow and I'm going to be this and, oh, I'm going to develop lung cancer and all this stuff. And what happened? Uh-huh. So we worked with them. We understood. We worked on the belief system that, you know what, in essence, and again, this is not to get into the political world of it all. But if you look at pot, for example, it's essentially a plant, okay? So you define it as a plant, okay? That's one thing. Number two, instead of looking at it as saying, yeah, it's when I get together with my friends or whatever it is, and we sit on the couch and we do this, or we go out and we cause or whatever it is, look at it and say, no, you know what? You get together with your friends, and, I mean, essentially, it's all love. It's actually, I mean, in older days, it used to be a spiritual tool. So it's actually love. You're really not getting together to look at that TV. You're getting together to have some fun, have some laugh, and it all is rooted in unconditional love. And so when you define it, and then the other belief is that it's going to have an effect on you tomorrow, the next day, and that's also a belief, a horribly limited belief, because in actuality, there is no tomorrow. It's an illusion. So you're doing a great job of projecting, quote-unquote, tomorrow. You're doing an excellent job because you're saying, because you have the power of words and you have free will, you're saying, well, you know, I am going to be groggy and I'm not going to be able to think tomorrow because you just said that that's the belief system that you have. If you switch it into saying, you know what, it has no effect on me tomorrow, I'll wake up tomorrow, I'll be refreshed, maybe I'll do some energy exercises. Maybe I won't, but either way, I'll be refreshed and fine because today has no effect on tomorrow. What I choose to relate to me has no effect whether I choose it or not. Then you can defeat that system, and we've worked with a lot of people on that. And there you go. So you speak our language.
Indeed. No, because you know I see a lot of people putting energy, effort into the physical world. When I tell them, you know, put your hand on the mirror. You're trying to change the mirror when if you want the shirt in the mirror to go from red to blue, change your shirt.
Yeah.
And you're like, you know, no. And I'm like, no, yeah, that's real. Because I understand that changing beliefs feels like a difficult thing. I understand that because I can remember for many years I wanted to quit partying and just I didn't. I wanted to. And what I have learned in my momentum of that particular change is that it was really starting from the stem core belief of, do I love myself?
Yeah.
If I had started with that, more importantly than whether I do drugs or don't do drugs, if you start with these beliefs that literally lay a blanket that when you're in love with yourself, and I mean genuinely loving yourself, that what you do for your partner, what you do for your best friends, or what you do for your children, if you have that same desire to make yourself feel that comforted, feel that loved, feel that validated, it would, the other aspects are symptoms of not being loved. Forget not doing drugs or doing drugs. You don't even have a desire to do drugs. The drug is the love. It becomes, I'm in the woods now, you know, breathing in massive oxygen from the trees going, oh, my God, why didn't I do this before? And it was like, because before I was more about the fit. Because why did I want to stop doing drugs? Because I didn't want to kill my body. Now that I'm like, listen, live, die, it don't matter. I can't die. I will always exist. I cannot not be in existence. I am. I am that I am.
Right.
And I'm learning that go for the bigger, broader. There's one aspect. Learn to change the belief from lack of self-love to tremendous self-love.
Yes.
And it will,
and you
it
know,
will by proxy change everything.
That all and often gets turned into, they say, well, wait a minute, isn't that selfish? And the idea,
you brought that up. Exactly.
Yes, the idea, no, you're not being selfish. That's just another self-limiting belief. And
exactly.
and of course, I mean, there are people that will be, I guess, quote unquote, selfish. They'll hurt others, but in reality, they're hurting themselves, and that's what you're doing by calling yourself selfish. You're really hurting yourself. There's no such thing as selfish. Yeah, be selfish. Love yourself. You have to love yourself before you can love anybody else. And
is
that's
there
the
really
whole idea.
Anybody else? Is there anybody
no.
else?
No,
you know,
exactly.
There isn't. That famous saying where people used to say, no one can love you more than you love you. I used to think about that all the time. Like, what the hell does that mean? Nobody can love me more than... Oh, because there's only one being here.
Yes. I say, if there's anything that anybody ever takes out of this, if there's any one thing, well, first of all, that's really impossible. There's a lot of good things that have been said, but if there's one thing, if there's one perspective that maybe you can understand about how loving yourself, then others will love you, that there's only one person in the universe and it's you, go with the perception that everybody around you, they're all aspects of yourself. And that's what it is.
Exactly.
So just think of it that way. And I know they're the old cliche, if you hurt somebody else, you're hurting yourself. But then really think about it. Really look around to the person next to you and see how they are an aspect of yourself, because really you are all that is. And at end, this is your universe. It's all you. This is our gift. This is our game. And when you look at that person, you say they're an aspect of yourself. It'll change your perception, and more importantly, it'll change your vibration. It'll change your vibration. Just a high, clean, crisp, new vibration, and you will feel it just when you understand that people around you, everything around you, they're all you, and that's the greatest. That's the greatest perception to have and to understand, because it is what it is. You are who you are.
Because that is. Do you mind if I share an example of that, real brief?
Please.
Okay, I live with my dad, and quick sidebar of Fred. Fred is a retired engineer, Jewish, married once, you know, basically faithful man. So that's just, you know, your basic profile of my dad. When now he's got me as a daughter. What a joke is that? Now, of course, most of my life, I'm here to please my dad. I mean, that was like, I had a big thing with men and pleasing them, and that's a whole other story. But what was interesting is when I first got into the radio.
Sounds like a past life.
Actually, there's definitely a thread of that, and I can tell another example of that from another experience. But anyways, yes, that's truth. My radio show, I mean, when I met this gentleman that said, you know, I'm thinking of putting together spiritual talk radios, would you like to be, you know, one of the hosts? You know, I mean, my jaw hit the ground. Within 30 seconds, I went, yes. I mean, and of course, the first time I went on the air, I couldn't breathe, I couldn't speak, I was scared. It wasn't like I just came out and became this transparent person. I was scared witless the first time I came on the air. But this is what I want to emphasize on what you just said about all people around us are reflections of us. My father, for like the first 3 years of my radio show, would say, you know, stop chasing the dream. Do something grounded. You know, get, you know, what are you doing? What are you doing? This is all malarkey. You know, the blah, 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 blah. This is, you know, stop wasting your time. And I literally came to the awareness and I said, he is the reflection of me not believing in myself. So why don't we make him the standard and start meditating on the belief that I do. It's not about, I don't have the belief anymore that I have to be, you know, Howard Stern paying $7 million to do my show. My belief now is that I make a difference in people's lives, even if it's just one person. I live my passion, and there's a healing essence potential to every single radio show that I do. Well, don't you know, lo and behold, about a year ago, the gentleman that brought me into radio, again, this is another long story, betrayed me massively, financially, tremendously betrayed, tremendously. My father came in, and this is after I had been meditating on myself, living my passion, finding my own success. He was like, you don't need him. You're a success because you're living your passion. You know, don't give up on your dream. My father. I was like, "Who are you, a pod man? Who are you?
What?
Why are you saying this to me?" And, you know, it was like, it was a dark hour where the one that had been supporting me, which was this guy that, you know, he was pumping my ego like unbelievably, as well as pumping my wallet. When he betrayed me, it's almost like, here's what actually happened, and I'm getting this for the first time speaking because it's your presence you're becoming part of my presence, is that the truth became revealed that when I believed in me, I didn't need him. Because when I wasn't believing in me, I was giving all my power away to this gentleman who was more than happy to take it from me because that was my reality. I couldn't be a famous radio person or I couldn't change the world with my radio show. So I gave my power to this gentleman, and my father reflected that I couldn't do it. As I believed in myself, the betrayal became, you know, noted. And I'll be honest with you, the betrayal doesn't even affect my vibration anymore because I am just at this point literally just grateful that he brought me into radio. That was the ultimate gift. And you know, everything else that I need, because I have investors. I've had people invest in me that I still owe money to.
Right.
They invested in me. I believe in me. I'm thoroughly and fully responsible for the entire investment, and yet on the same note, when the higher self says, here's $200,000, go pay the investors back, I will. I won't keep a dime of it for myself, but until that day comes, and, you know, the amazing part is my investors are not knocking me down on my doors. They still to this day go, we believe in you. When it's time, it'll happen, which is like the ultimate compliment.
Well,
you know, in that.
Well, that's a beautiful story. That shows it's straightforward. And there are also aspects of yourselves telling you that everything's
exactly.
going to be just fine.
Because I will be, because everybody's an aspect of self. The good, you know, we all want our aspects to be, you know, these pretty shiny little figurines that we keep in the curio cabinet, when sometimes, you know, they're going to come out as betrayers and they're going to come out as, you know, robbers and thieves and drug addicts. I mean, this is because we came here to do good, the bad, the ugly, the beautiful. We came here to do it all and experience it all. Yeah.
I love it, and that also shows how you took what could be a negative situation, and you turned it around. You assigned a positive charge to it, and it was one of the greatest charges, one of your greatest frequencies that you've come across, and that is your radio show.
Exactly. Thank you for that, indeed. And I'll tell you, I remember when I got robbed. The place that I lived where I had the experience of the aliens, was what you quote unquote call a lower income neighborhood, and I used to leave my doors and windows open because I was just learning about the law of attraction and Esther Hicks and all that, Abraham Hicks, and so I felt very good about, you know, saying, listen, I'm not afraid of being robbed. Now, to be quite honest, I live a pretty humble life. I mean, it's not like I had, you know, all sorts of things. But I lived in a neighborhood where clearly CD players and stereos, things like that, could easily be pawned. And to make a long story short, I never locked my doors. The guy upstairs from me, we lived in one house. He lived in the upstairs. I lived in the downstairs. Three times he was robbed upstairs. They never came into my apartment downstairs, which was not a matter of they couldn't get into. They just never came. He got robbed three times on the upper floor. And remember, all the sayings tell you, it's more prosperous to be robbed on the bottom floor than it is on the upper floor. Well, that was the complete opposite in my experience. And then what happened is I went away for the weekend. A friend of mine was house-sitting. I was doing tarot cards. I got a card that said, beware of something. I called my friend up and I went, do me a favor, if you leave the house tomorrow, lock the door. And he was like, why? And I go, I just have this funny feeling something's going to happen, like I'm going to get robbed. So lo and behold, about 8 hours later, this was about 10 o'clock at night, about 10 o'clock in the morning the next morning, he called me up and he went, I went home, you know, to take a bath, and I came back and I interrupted. He goes, Goldie, you got robbed. And I went, okay, I was kind of planning. I thought that. So the thing that I took from that is, first and foremost, everybody was like, of course, saying, okay, so what are you going to do now? You know, now are you going to keep your doors open? And I went, hell yeah.
Right.
And they were like, what do you mean? And I said, well, first of all, if I live in fear, I'm going to take the situation. It's going to happen again.
You're
now
right.
My goal is I've got to defuse it. And the way to defuse it is I kept the doors open. And what I literally did is I told myself, at this point, I do not know the motive of the people that stole from me, so I can place any motive I want in there. And the motive I placed in there was that they stole the objects that they did take. I mean, Lewis ended up interrupting the whole thing, so they didn't get away with much, but they got away with a few things. But the motive I placed on it was that these people had children that had no shoes and no coats, and they needed to clothe their children. I mean, I lived in a lower class, a lower income neighborhood. And so I made this whole thing up that I felt honored. I was like, listen, you take that stuff, you go take care of your children. Because everybody's like, how do you know that's the case? And I went, I don't.
Yeah.
I don't know
yeah.
that's the case. But I can't leave my doors and windows open feeling good thinking that somebody did this to go fill a crack pipe. I got to feel good about my choices. So I'm going to wrap around it a motive that feels good to me. And Lewis, who lived, you know, in very low-income neighborhoods his whole life, goes, I mean, he would say to me months later, they didn't come back, Goldie. And I'm like, because I closed it.
I closed it
with love instead of continuing the whole momentum by anger, fear, revenge, and any of that kind of stuff.
Right. You know, that almost goes something back to, I mean, that touches on it's always, always, always about vibration. You know, I mean,
yeah.
Something that's said as often is that, you know, we're electromagnetic beings. So this is what you were writing to me.
Go. Yes. Yes.
Yes. Yes. Exactly. So we are electromagnetic beings. You know, and if that sounds kind of complicated and convoluted, you could just take off electro, and you could just understand that we are magnetic beings. And what that is that's basically, you know, that's basically the whole Law of Attraction book, the movie, The Secret, or which I should watch. I haven't watched it, believe it or not. I have not watched it. But
no, you are missing it. It's a partial information. It's very partial, though. It's
right.
It doesn't go into the depth of essence, so yeah.
That's what I see. You know, if it helps more mainstream, you know, more people in the mainstream,
it's a
then
step.
I guess
exactly.
Yeah.
It's a baby step towards that, though, and that is the purpose that it's serving. Exactly.
Right.
Exactly.
So we're magnets. So think of yourself basically as a magnet. So if you're sitting there and you're saying, "Well, I hope this doesn't happen again. I hope it doesn't happen again. I hope it doesn't happen again. I hope it does," then it's going to happen again because you're putting
of
out
course.
The charge, and the universe doesn't understand the word not. I mean, that doesn't exist because, you know, not. That doesn't exist. So all the universe hears is robbed again, me robbed again, I robbed again, and you are a magnet, basically. So by putting this pulsation out to the universe, by putting this energy out, you are magnetizing that energy in. You are magnetizing in. You are saying, okay, well, robbery, the whole idea of robbery is what I'm welcoming. So you're a magnet. This is how, and if you think about, you know, let's see. There's a person that always complains about being late for work or being late for this. Or there's a person that always complains that his family is always out to get him. Somehow or another, it always happens. Why does it always happen to me? Well, because you're a little magnet, and you just keep talking about it and bringing it into your reality. And that is how we are. That's how we're magnets, and we magnetize all the time. And then the electric part of it is basically the vibrational charge. We're electromagnetic magnets. So what do we do with these situations that we magnetize, that we materialize with our energy? What do we do with these situations? What kind of charge do we give it? Do we give it a positive charge? As you just said, hey, these are aspects of myself who are experiencing a low-income reality. And this is what they need to put food on their table. This is what this guy needs to show the love for his children, his family. He needs to do this.
Exactly.
And you assign the positive charge, and you let it be. You know, there was chatter. There were aspects of yourself because you still had a little bit of doubt. So there were chatter. Hey, well, are you still going to keep your window? But you said, yes, I am. Charge remains. That's it. And so you got a good result out of it. And there you go.
Well, and right, I got an expected, and I know expectations are. I have learned that. Gifts come in packages you would never, ever think of. Like I have examples of, I live in, like, one of the wealthiest neighborhoods in our country. And all around me, like, of course, like in any neighborhood, we have rivals, right? So the neighborhood I live in, at one point, we were the only ones with a lower income housing thing. So all the areas, surrounding towns, never liked us. So there's two in particular. I'm not even going to name them. But I'm neighboring where we live. I neighbor three different towns on the borders. So I used to be like, I hate that town. You know, I don't want to party there. I don't want to shop there. I don't want to go there. Well, don't you know, when I came back from Buffalo and I had to get a job, I got a job with a temporary nanny agency. All they kept doing was sending me to the town that I hated. I mean, here's my irony. All my income is coming from a town I hate. And I recognized it immediately and said, if you don't shift this belief about this town, you're going to hate how you make your money. I mean, where you're going, you don't like. It ended up that I got in two of the towns that were the biggest ones next to me. my two favorite clients, I'm not with Nannies Is Needed anymore. I have two families, both from towns that I was the one who was prejudiced around. It wasn't just them being prejudiced to me. I was absolutely reflecting that prejudice back, and I owned it. I owned that I was prejudiced and said, do you want this? Do you want to that vibration in you? Because I could see that it, the universe and its, you know, whole cosmic humor, sense of humor, was bringing me all my income from the two towns. So, like, every time I had a potential of working in five different towns, you know, like for 4 months straight, I'm going to these towns. It's like, why is it every job I got is there? You know, and it's like, because it's a reflection of self. That which I don't like, my soul is going, if you want to embrace it, here's the way to do. You know, I tell people all the time, if you're going to pray for or, you know, meditate on patience, be prepared to be in traffic jams, be on hold. People will say they're going to pay you and you'll have to wait for the money, because you can't learn patience without having opportunities to be patient.
Yes, exactly.
I can't learn how to neutralize a prejudice until I'm smack in the middle of the town, which is now, they're very neutral spaces to me now. And I'm there are people in all over the planet, including my own hometown, that I don't like. But there's people I love and adore in these towns. It's not the town that makes or breaks a person. It's a person that makes or breaks a person. You know, it was very eye-opening to me. So
that's it. Yeah, exactly. All the power is within you. It's not the town. It's not the. It's all you. It's all the person.
It's all
brilliant.
All of it. Everything. My health. My relationship. My outlook. My radio show. My success or their lack of, it's all me.
And that's the key. The key is integration. The key is right. Not holding prejudices, because again, it's all in the higher realms. In the higher realms, everything is valid. Everything is validated. It's only here in the 3D that things are divided. And it's all polarity, like you said. It's the game of duality. This is what we did. This is the veil that we put over our eyes. This is the self-inflicted amnesia that we gave each other that we gave ourselves to fool ourselves into thinking that we're separate. That you know, it's this, it's that, and as a result, things got a little bit out of hand. But that's the idea. Like you said, we know. Now it's time. Now it's time to become sovereign onto ourselves. It's all us. We don't have to depend on a town to provide something for us. We don't have to provide on this. We don't have to provide on people to provide anything for us. You know, it's all of us. We are sovereign. We are our own government. We can be our own healthcare system. We can be our own anything.
Yeah.
Anything. It's all us.
Yeah.
Dependency is, we're coming towards the age, the end of the age of dependency, the end of the age of limitation, and we come to just being sovereign onto ourselves. We can
our
be it all. That's
is
it.
Our sustenance, yes.
Yes.
Yeah, because I tell people, when you really start understanding that you are the creator of everything, exactly like you just said, I was like, I am my own police. I don't, because people are like, you know, well, you need the cops. And I was like, well, if I need the cops, they'll show up. But that doesn't mean it can't show up as, like, well, okay, I love examples, because I think examples are tidbits of life that people are like, it really happened that way.
Right.
Anya, who's 6 years old, she's Sahana's sister who I take care of. This girl is one of the most generous human beings I have ever met in my life. I mean, she is teaching me hands down the living example of generosity. She's a peacemaker and she's generous. It's absolutely one of her attributes that's just astounding.
Right.
We go to Wendy's the other day, and to make a long story short, she wanted French fries. We had already sat down to eat, and she's 6 years old. The way life presents itself, I can't just go up to the counter and leave her alone, and I can't take her with me and leave the food alone. So I was like, you know, Anya, you got to wait a few minutes. You know, it became a tension between us that she wanted the fries, and it wasn't as easy to do as I could. So I finally got the fries after I had finished my meal, where I could hold the rest of her meal and go get her the fries, and she could just sit and eat the fries. Well, don't you know, when we finally get the fries, she sits down. Within 30 seconds, they're all over the floor. And I go, you've got to be kidding me. Yeah, I'm like, you know, and it was already a little bit of tension because of this. Well, 5 seconds after they hit the floor, there are three kids, none of them over the age of 12, sitting two tables away from us. They literally hold up their fries. They go, would you like this? They just put an extra fry on our tray. Now, I know people would be like, how could you accept food from somebody else? It could be poison. They're trying to kill us. It's a conspiracy.
Right.
And I swear to God, Proteus, this is what went through my head. Boy, if that kid didn't present generosity in her, you know, this is her generosity coming back to her. And I went, that's outstanding. Thank you. I was like, Anya, what do you got to say? And she was like, thank you. And she sat there and ate the fries that they gave us. I mean,
that's
it is lovely. There's no fear about it. You know, because I can tell people are like, you don't take food from somebody you don't know. And it's like, I agree, you don't. But in that situation, they were her angels. It was so obvious they were her angels to me. I'm going to deny the angelic. First of all, they want to give. Second of all, she deserves it. She is the generous being. She is.
Yeah.
I didn't want her to deny that because I looked at her and I went, Anya, that is your soul creating this experience. You did that.
Yeah.
It was hot. I thought it was hot.
I
can only tell that to certain people as I tell that on the air. Ha, 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 ha.
Because
people think I'm crazy taking food.
Well,
you know, because there's so many fears. Yeah, it's an interesting politics behind stuff like that.
You talk about fear, and you know, one thing, can I just mention about, and we didn't talk about it too much, but can I just mention about the importance of staying in the now?
Sure, of course. And listen, Proteus, let me just get this out. I hope you become a frequent guest on the show. I love it. I love you. I love our talks. And
I
plan on inviting you on often.
It is done. It is done.
Awesome. Awesome. Okay. Go ahead.
The importance of staying in it now just reminds me about, because when you were talking of, you know, about the fear of, and that's because that's something that we're not taught, of course, and that's something that we really don't hear too much, you know. We only hear about now is, quite often, is, you know, they're one of those people that stays in the moment. But, you know, that's just what it is. But you talked about, you know, about the fear of, like, hey, you know, someone else is going to rob me or this or that. And the reason why it didn't happen to you, I mean, of course, there are many reasons. But one of these is, like you said, you associated a charge and then you let it go. And then you put your mind towards other things. Sorry to jump around, but we mentioned about how perhaps, you know, when you get jealous about something or when you put yourself in fear over a past situation, you know, about how you are bringing that into your reality, what you're also doing and how you are activating other lifetimes, that's kind of what you're doing. You're taking your energy and you're splitting it up because, as we know, we are multidimensional beings. We are in alternate realities at all times. Where the reality that we are experiencing now is a result of our focus, our ego. It's, of course, what our soul, our higher self, is projecting to what we call physical reality. But anyway, by taking that energy and worrying about the illusions of yesterday and tomorrow, you're literally taking your energy out of the present and putting it in all these other dimensions, the dimension that exists where you do have a lack of this, where the fear of this does manifest. That is why it's important to stay in the now, because when you stay in the now, you are looking at what you have manifested. You are looking at what is in front of you right now, and it's the only point of power. The only point of power is right now, and it's one of the most simplest concepts of all. But it's something that people really don't do often, and you must do it a lot because the reality is that there's only one moment. It's right now, and by focusing on the past, all you're doing is just feeding in to an illusion. You can actually change the past just as you change the future. One of the concepts in our schools should be just as you affect the future with your decisions that you make, but you also affect the past. You can affect, because you are healing lifetimes with every single breath. With every single breath, you're healing lifetimes. With every single breath, you're jumping realities. If you focus in on what you want, you'll be in the reality that you want at all times, because your mind will be clear. And one more thing about staying in the present is also about keeping your mind clear. Well, that is actually what you would be doing when you do stay in the present. Your mind will be clear of that, of what we call chatter and what we call, you know, analyzation, because you're healing all lifetimes and you're manifesting in the now, and that's the idea.
Yeah, it's a very magical space when you're in the now. I mean, it's magical that three kids under 12 became Anya's angels.
Yeah.
Because I'm telling you, if you saw her face when those fries hit the floor, it literally, she was devastated.
Mm.
And then within 10 seconds, pumped right back up by, of course, three kids. See, what I love about this story is it's kids taking care of kids.
Yes. Yes.
You know, like, right on. And I'm going to be the adult that stands in the way and says, no. We haven't tested those fries for toxic waste.
Yeah, right? The kids are going to look at you like you're crazy, because they in reality say, well, she is crazy. What's wrong with her?
Said she's another uptight adult.
There you go. That is right. We can learn,
you know,
we can learn a lot from children.
Oh, my God. They're masters. Masters.
Yeah.
They really, especially of energy, conductivity. Absolute masters.
And they're thinking with their heart. The heart is the filter, the multidimensional to the 3D. So they're thinking with their heart. They're using their imagination. They're using their creativity. They're using their feeling. That's what felt right to them, because that's how they operate. They're not thinking about, oh, well, that fry hasn't been tested for. They're saying, wait, fries tested for, wait a minute, what belief system are they feeding into? And just eating that fry feels great, and that's all I need. That's the only test that I need. And that is living purely. That is living and thinking from the heart.
Yeah, it was a beautiful moment right there in Wendy's. That's another thing about being in the now. The magic will happen in the places you couldn't even imagine. You can't plan it because it's not planned. Strangers will be involved in it. Other dimensional experiences will be involved. It is such an exquisite dance, and it's like we were talking about earlier, and it all comes from trust. If you can trust your own being, you know, because, you know, similar to like before I went up in the spaceship, there was a moment where I said to myself, do I want to take these fries from these kids? I mean, you know, my mind, you know, it goes that quick. And I was like, of course you want to take these fries from the kids, Goldie. But that doesn't mean that the linear mind didn't kick in. It did. I just didn't let it run. I just, you know, like, I accepted that the linear. See, that's what is called befriending the ego. The ego did kick in, you know, with the doubt. Are you sure you want to take these fries from these kids? And it was like, and the soul, because I practice breathing. I practice being in nature. I intend for my essence to be part of my experience. These are all attributes to helping that magical experience, because my magic also played part in that, because I was an experience of it. So, you know, it's everyone was there contributing to that magic. Everyone.
It's truly a magical moment, and it's I mean, it's wonderful. Yeah, talk about children. It's wonderful communicating with children. I mean, because children, you can communicate with children are very telepathic, and
very
we all are.
Telepathic.
Very telepathic.
They don't know not to be. They don't know not
they
to be.
They don't know not
to
be, yeah. So often times are not, people, you know, this always happens to me. Do you always have the baby that's looking at you and that sort of thing? All you have to do is feel love, and that baby will respond to you with a smile. That's
and I think they see our auras too. They see, like, I can remember holding a baby at a job, where the parents were going out with this couple, the man of the couple, when he walked into the kitchen, the baby went rigor mortis. Ignore that little English woman for a moment. I brought the baby upstairs, and I told the wife, the mother, not of the couple, of the woman I worked for, I said, listen, this is none of my business, but I suggest that you never leave your children alone with that man. I don't know who he is or what he is, but your baby's reaction is enough to tell me you don't leave your children alone in his presence.
That's excellent, and just... I have a similar example. I was on the metro a couple of weeks ago, and there was a man on the metro, and this baby just started crying, and the mother said just that. She said, he never cries. Just when that man came here, he started crying. When the man got off the train, he stopped crying.
He felt fine. Because even in my own experience, I'm realizing I can smell stress on people. I used to think it was like, you know, indigestion or beer or something, but I'm realizing now I smell stress. Babies also are very heightened awareness in their smell.
Yes.
They can smell stress. So, again, I'm not saying the gentleman was, you know, a child molester, but if he was really anxiety-ridden or him and his wife just had a fight on the way over there, the baby picked up on it because they know relaxation just as clearly as they know stress. They can tell, they can differentiate, and they know whether they want to go towards it or not. They really do.
All is energy. We can do it. We all can do it. All we have to do is, well, remember that we can do it. Just be it, and it'll come.
Exactly. Indeed. Proteus, you rock, my friend. This is, I had a cancellation. You showed up with your wings on and your expanded awareness. I'm so impressed with you. Are you going to be up for a little bit? Can I call you after the show to book you for another night?
You can absolutely call me. No problem at all. Call me anytime. Yeah, just give me a call.
Okay, and I can use this number. Yeah, don't give your number out over the air. I have your number on a thing. I'm going to call you from the number you're calling from.
You can do that. That is it. That is the number to reach me at.
Okay.
So you can call me after. You call me after the show, and we'll iron it all out.
Outstanding, because I also have things I want to talk to you about. All right, listen, everybody, this has been an amazing show. Proteus, wait, again, give the website, please, the web address.
Thank you so much. It's chemocity.com. That's K-E-M, like Michael O, city.com.
Outstanding. And look for Proteus again. He will absolutely be on my show. We might even have him as I'll talk to you about that before I even make the announcement over the air. Next week is Sophia. Third Thursdays with Sophia, just so everybody knows. Sophia's not coming on the show anymore. She's not going to do Third Thursday. She's moving on to other expanded experiences. I wish her well. So anybody who wants to talk with the goddess Sophia on the air, this will be pretty much the last time, you know, until maybe, you know, I don't know. It won't be every third Thursday anymore. So if you want to say goodbye or say hello or whatever to Sophia, that will be next week. I love you all. Thank you for listening. Proteus, you rocked my world tonight. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. And I will talk to everybody next week. Have an amazing night and an amazing week. Bye. I'll call you in a bit.